Boy, oh boy, am I excited about what we're getting started today. And then for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, I don't even know how long, to be honest, it's going to go. My original intentions were February, but we're already well into February and just now starting because we've missed and stuff like that. But love lessons. This is number one, love lessons. And number one, love lessons, is a vision for dating. And I can tell you, I love my job. How cool is it to be able to come and share, even with, even if it's just a few of you teenagers, share the Word of God with you, share this time with you, and hopefully inspire you, hopefully give you something that is worth holding on to. And that's only going to come from the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit that just is all over the delivery. And so I'm going to admit, before we talk about love lessons, I'm not a relationship expert. Sorry to, you know, I saw your heads drop. I mean, you were really holding out for hoping that Michael was the relationship expert, right? Let me ask you this, though. Have you ever met a relationship expert? You ever met that guy or that girl who just, they just really think they've got a handle on this thing? Okay, and maybe you're like, you're driving down the road, you know, maybe you're in the car and they're talking and they're, well, if you just do it this way, or if you look at it this way, or and you're like, where's the nearest bridge? And they're like, well, you're not even listening to me. You're like, yeah, I'm listening to you, but I want to jump off if I have to continue to listen to this garbage. I mean, in all honesty, none of us have got it all figured out. If I looked around the room and I, you know, if people were honest, we just don't have it figured out, man, when it comes to relationships and when it comes to even dating and when it comes to sex and when it comes to all these things that are vital to who we are as human beings. We haven't gotten it figured out. But guess what? Guess what? I do know a relationship expert. I do know one. And matter of fact, I spoke to him yesterday. When I woke up this morning, I made sure I gave him a call and asked him, you know, that he'd give me some wisdom. And matter of fact, I spoke to him right before I came up here on the way. My walk from there beside Kenzie up to the front of the room, I spoke to the relationship expert, that he would give me some wisdom, that he would give me some guidance as to where to take you guys concerning love lessons. What is his name? My relationship expert. His name is God. His name is Jesus, the relationship expert. And today, I don't know about you guys, but maybe you'll smile. Maybe you give me 2 thumbs up, but relationships are kind of out of control. I mean, we're talking like you look down to middle school kids, you know, and you look to high school kids, and you look to maybe even elementary school kids, and you think about relationships, and all across the board there, wow, it gets almost hysterical to look and think about, okay? And quickly, before we set this up, a guy I look up to, he shared 5 different types of relationships, and I'm going to share them with you real quick, okay? And don't point fingers, okay? Don't point fingers if you know someone or if you're sitting beside of someone who falls into this category. Number one, the relationship addict. Anybody know that person? The relationship addict. I'm talking the person who hops from one person to another. It's like, if I'm not in a relationship, I cannot make it. And you see that person, and they're just addicted just as much as someone else who's addicted to a controlled substance. This person is addicted to relationships, cannot be single, refuses the relationship addict. Number two, the relationship island. The relationship island, okay? This is the person who is so involved and so tied in this relationship that no one else in the world exists outside of my little island. Do you know anyone like that? That it all just, it's all about that individual, and it's all about me, and it's all about our little island. I want my glass, my little umbrella, and we just kick back, and it's all about our little relationship island, okay? Number three, the relationship player. Okay, you know who this is. This is the one who flirts with everybody but can't settle on anybody. You know, I'm friends with everybody, and I'm just flirtatious with everybody, and look at me, and generally, I don't want you to beat up on me, but generally it's the girls. It can be the guys. I've seen the guys do it too, man, and grow up, dude. Come on. Either one of you. Number four, the relationship cheater. Pretty self-explanatory, right? Yes, the unfaithful one. The one who just, kind of hopping, somewhat like the player, but they've actually settled. At least they've given the impression that they settled with this person. But then on the side, they've got this, they've got another one over here on the side, kind of like co-op. Like this is stealth mode. We get stealth mode on, and then it comes out in the end, and not good, not good. And the last one and the best one, the relationship waiter. The relationship waiter, and this person is the person that is waiting with patience that God actually has someone for them, prepares, doesn't just jump into it, but is patient, waits, prays into it, considers it. Whoa. Five quick relationships, five different types of relationships, and yet I want to read some scripture. And we'll start with Proverbs chapter 28. I'm sorry, 29. Verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And I said the title of this message, number one, is a vision for dating. And get it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Perish. Another word I found is that is very similar to reckless. You think death when you think the people perish. They will. You don't have any vision. A lot of the time you will end up dying. But without a vision, you're reckless. You're just, who knows what? In the second verse of Scripture I want you to pull up on the screen is Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, blessed, more appropriately, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This speaks about our motives. If our motives are right, if our heart is right, and we'll speak more about this here in a moment, we can see God even in our relationships, even in this crazy game of dating, because a lot of the time it ends up being a game. Are you playing the game of dating? And finally, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 2. We just visited this a couple weeks ago with Hello, My Name is Adam, but we're back. Because you've got to look to the original. You've got to look to ground zero to find out what relationships were like then, to find out what relationships should be like now. Because then, God said, it was good, man. Not just so-so, not just decent, but it was good. And so we need to know what that was like. So if you look at your Bibles, you go to Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18. I want to read to verse 25, and then we'll just... you don't need anything mystical, do you? You guys need anything philosophical when it comes to... I don't think so. No, you just need something. Rubber meets the road. You need something you can take with you. And that's what I want to do. Starting in chapter 2, verse 18 of Genesis. "Then the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. So what will he do? He says, I'll make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. Then man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there wasn't quite found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God did what? He caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of the ribs and he closed it up with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made what? Into a woman." Okay, we make jokes about, whoa, man. That's what a woman is. Or, whoa, man. Woman. And he brought her to the man. That's what he did. He took that rib and he made it into a woman and he brought her to the man. Then the man said, some say, this is kind of interesting to me, that maybe before sin entered this world, there may be a reason why some of us tend to like Broadway, tend to like musicals, tend to like that kind of stuff. Because maybe, just maybe, our natural inclination was just to sing everything. We didn't speak, we sung. And so Adam does that right here. He does it before he says anything. He sings. He says, "This is the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of me, out of man." And he sings this. It's poetry. It's amazing. It's beautiful. I slobber too when I think about poetry, but it wasn't here. It was very good. It was awesome. Okay, and then closing this out, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both, my favorite verse again in the whole Bible, the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome. Dating with vision. Dating with vision. Okay, think about this practically speaking. Okay, if you're going to take a road trip and you've never been there before, what are you going to do? Old school, you roll out the map. We don't do that anymore. We get out iPhone, Android, we get out the GPS. We've got it built into the dashboard and it tells us where we're going to go. You would not go on a trip without first calculating the distance. You would not first go on the trip without stopping down here at Go-Mart, there's not a Go-Mart until Huntington. I mean, Rich, Speedway, Murphy's, you would stop and you'd fuel up if you got a long voyage. You would make necessary preparations, right? You would have a vision. And we look to those scriptures and we look. Dating with vision. Why do you do the date thing? Why do it? If we're going to start at ground zero, should we not ask? Because I would guess, and I'm assuming, and I don't want to commit a suicide here, but I do want to assume that you guys maybe have never given a whole lot of thought as to why you even date. Why? Why do I do this? And if your answer is maybe because everyone else does it, because it's fun, because, I mean, you can just fill in the blank. Why? We've got to have some vision. We've got to have a roadmap. We've got to have some direction. Or otherwise, without vision, the people perish. Without vision, the people are reckless. Without the vision, we do harm to ourselves. And God's the one who casts the vision. God is the one who gives us direction. And here we look to find out what that is. And I don't know, even when I was in your shoes, and I told you, I'm no relationship expert, but in addition to that, I also made a ton of mistakes growing up. And I don't want you to make those same mistakes, but I would assume that to say that you guys probably give more time thinking about what kind of car you're going to drive or what kind of dress you're going to wear than what kind of guy or what kind of girl you're with or you want to be with or you have been with. You just that's just who we are, naturally speaking. And God speaks into us. He speaks love into us. And He speaks to us and He says, guys, I've got a plan. And so today, let's check it out. Honestly, admittedly, you can't find, if you look in the pew in front of you, you're not going to find an old King Jimmy. You're not going to be able to open up King James. You're not going to be able to open up this Bible in the table of contents and find dating 101. Okay? Bible times, literally speaking, Bible times, dating was not what dating is today. It's a total foreign concept to the Scriptures, to the Old Testament, to the New Testament. We just don't see dating like we see it today. And does that mean that it's evil? Does that mean we should run as if we're going to hell if we're dating? My God, I hope not. No, it doesn't at all. There's a whole lot of things that aren't necessarily spelled out plainly in this black and white, and we do them and they're healthy. There are also some things that aren't spelled out in here black and white, and we do them and they're deadly. But yet, this thing is jam-packed full of marriage, jam-packed full of relationships, jam-packed full of unfaithfulness, jam-packed full of drama, jam-packed full of your life and my life. Okay, and so we've got to look here, regardless of whether we see dating 101 in the table of contents or even in the concordance in the back end. Okay, so that's okay, but I'm going to give you three things. Okay, number one. Why date? Why? What's the reason? What is the purpose of dating? Number one, dating is for mating. Dating is for mating. And before you go, no, he didn't. Before you go, won't you? No, we're not going there yet. Okay, we will. Maybe next week. Maybe the following. We'll see. Okay, dating is for mating. But if you look back to the beginning of Genesis, you get an idea. Okay, he says, be fruitful and multiply. He does want us. You think about it. I'm getting ahead of myself, and I probably shouldn't, but think about sex. I mean, there's some things that are asexual reproduction. You go back to biology class or whatever. They just reproduce themselves. And yet God gave us the ability to get up with somebody else and do it. So it's pretty awesome to think about that. God is a good God, and He wants us to enjoy that thing called sex, but He also wants us to save it for marriage. Okay? That's just 101. And I don't want to get hung up on that right now, but dating is for mating. He says in verse 18, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. And so the idea here is that we're made with an urge to merge. Yeah? I mean, think about it. We are. I mean, from the very beginning, we just have this urge to merge with somebody. I mean, we just have this longing that we want to, you know, pair up. It's like, I look at my shoes, I've got two shoes. I mean, I look at my gloves, I've got two gloves. I mean, you're just on and on. It just makes sense, right? And so 80% of Americans, I did some statistic reading. 80% of Americans will marry, believe it or not. So that means most of you will marry. Okay, that doesn't mean all of you will, but most of you will. And guys and girls, what I want to get across to you, what God has gotten across to me in these few little bit of years I've been around, okay, is that God is far more interested in your life's mate than your next date. And so you should be far more interested in your life's mate than your next date, okay? Because we can be so consumed about the next date that we miss the fact that really romantic relationships, if you look to the Bible and you look to what exists there, romantic relationships are not created for dating. They're created for marriage. Okay, and so ultimately it's like, why would we speak to high schoolers about marriage? And if there were any middle schoolers in here, why would we talk to them about marriage? Because marriage is the point. It's not dating. Dating is not the point. Marriage is. That's the ultimate goal. And so, do you date because everyone else is doing it? Do you date because you're pressured? Do you date because you're lonely? Do you date because you feel like there's something broken and someone's going to come alongside and fix that? I mean, there's a multitude of reasons why you think maybe you ought to date, or maybe why you're currently dating. But ultimately, why would you waste your time with someone? Why would you, and I'm not saying friendship, I'm not saying you can't buddy up, I'm not saying you can't hang out, I'm not saying that at all, but why would you spend emotion? Why would you get involved, intimately speaking, with your emotions? And maybe even physically. With someone they're not even in the same ballpark with you when it comes to marriage, when you think about the partner that you want to spend your life with. Why would you spend the time? I suggest you may be wasting your time. If this person, you know flat out, there's no way. There is no way. We are not in the same place. We are not going in the same place. Why? You look at verse 24, and you don't see this, well, I just don't know. I just don't know if this person is made for me. No, if you look at verse 24, you see in verse 23, this is bone of my bones. This is flesh of my flesh. This is from this person. I mean, it's not just emotions. It's the reality that God has provided this person for him. Okay, that's the reality here. And so you see in verse 24, and then it moves on to say that man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. You mean I'm kind of, in a sense, ditching my parents for this person? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I mean, I've been dating this girl for about 7.5 years now. And we've been married for 3. Because when you get married, dating doesn't stop. It's not as if, you know, we make jokes that you get the ball and chain latched onto your leg once you get hitched. But that's not the reality of it. The dating continues. So what you did to get married, you continue to do to stay married. That's the reality, and that's what I'm called to do. That's what these guys in here who are married are called to do. And guys in this room, when you do ask that person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, that's what God has called you to do. And so every date is a potential mate. Think about that. That's huge, is it? Every date is a potential mate. And if there's no vision, just imagine what could happen. That brings me to number two. Before you love, listen. Before you love, first listen. And why? What do I mean there? Let me unpack that. Just because you feel in love, just because you feel in love, somebody once said that you fall in ditches, you don't fall in love, right? I don't know if that's completely accurate, but you know. If you fall in love, that doesn't mean necessarily that it's right. That does not mean that it's healthy. That does not mean that it's God's will for you because you fell in love. It does not mean that you two are compatible for life because you fell in love. And so I want to help you, if anything, because I do love you, believe it or not. I may not know you that well, I do. I love you, and I want to, if anything, try to prevent you from hurting yourself. Because that's what happens when we devote and we invest and we spend so much time in a person, and that person's name isn't Jesus. God knows you, I've said it before, better than you know yourself. And He also knows who you need as a helpmate. Some of us in this room were blessed with amazing wives. Some of us in this room are blessed with amazing husbands, kind of like my wife. Why are we blessed with amazing spouses? Because our parents, maybe, our grandparents, they have prayed all the long while, not knowing the name, not knowing the face, but praying for that future husband, praying for that future spouse, that they would be following Jesus, that they would be giving their life to Jesus in every capacity, in every way, and they would be surrendering and just... And that one day there will be an interruption. That these two people following Jesus would just cross the same paths. And they'd realize that, you know what? We're going in the same place and we want to serve Jesus together. And that's kind of what happened, man. That's kind of what happened with me. I didn't get it all figured out. I didn't work out all the kinks. But God just provided me someone. And I was being patient. And so before you love, first listen. What do I mean when I say that? This person that your potential date, or maybe current date, whatever you want to call it with. I mean, throughout history it's changed. We're going steady, you know. We're talking. We're, you know, seeing each other. I'm seeing you too, you know. I mean, where do we get this garbage? I don't even know. But anyway, is this person going in the same place in life as you are? I mean, when you think about 5 years from now, your vision for life, I mean, you guys are high schoolers. You ought to have a vision for life. You ought to have an idea of what you want to do in this world. Does that person mesh? Are they going in the opposite direction? Has the conversation been even had about what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do with your future? Because, girls, God is calling you to marry a spiritual leader. Where's He at with that? I just want to ask that bluntly because I've got to ask myself that all the time. Where am I at with that? Because I'm called to be a spiritual leader, and so are you. Guys, girls, does He love this book? Does He even know what this book is? Does He live this book? Does He live for God? Or is He a dope like Adam was here when he screwed up big time? I mean, he said, she made me do it. Ultimately, that's kind of what he did. I mean, it was like, the woman, God, that you... I'm going to blame you too, God. I mean, you gave her to me. She's the one that got me in this mess. Are you going to be that... I mean, girls, think about the guy you're with. I mean, is that kind of the mentality? And guys, think about your mentality. There's some introspection. There's some evaluation to do there. Some examination. And guys, is this girl that you're currently spending time with, that you're dating, quote unquote, or thinking about dating, is she pinning you against your friends? Is she pinning you? Is she pressuring you? Is she manipulating you to make decisions that you don't want to against your will? Because girls tend to have that persuasion. And if they're manipulating you, and if they're playing, I see some smiles back there. I'm not pointing fingers, and neither should you, but it happens. that pressure, the manipulation, the putting you against, you know, as if, you know, you and I are the only ones, you know, and all these other people are insignificant. Let us have our moments. And ultimately, I think about it and I look about it, look at the relationships that exist, and I think about my past relationships. And one of the things, before you love, first listen, there is far too much touching going on and far too little talking going on. I mean, you're not listening because you're not talking. Too busy. I had Mr. Kimball. How many of you have Mr. Kimball in class in high school? Okay, back when we were in school. I don't know if he still does or not, but he'd be sitting there behind his desk and we'd be over there joking, Hank, carrying on and say, too much talking, not enough typing. And I just remember that. Too much touching, not enough talking. That's what comes to mind. I mean, that is reality in the relationships. And I look back on my own and it's true, but by the grace of God, and by boundaries that I was taught to put in place, there was some touching involved. But there also came a point where I realized, I've got to do some talking. This touching is going nowhere fast. We've got to do some talking. We've got to figure out who we are. I mean, do we know each other? I mean, are you more acclimated with the freckles? Are you more acclimated with the person? The person, their interests, their passions, their desires, their goals, their vision, their life, likes, dislikes, mistakes, successes, family, mom, dad, brother, sister, cousins. Because you'll marry into that someday. My goodness, that sucks for some of you, right? No, it's worth it. I happen to marry into a good one. Another question I want to ask you before you love, first listen. Do you ever pray for that person that you're currently dating, that person you're considering dating? Do you ever pray for that person? Let's take it one step further. Have you ever prayed with that person? Do you pray with that person? Because ultimately, God needs to be at the center. He needs to be the cornerstone of that relationship. Or it will dwindle, it'll fall apart. Or it'll be all about you, or it'll be all about her. And it can't be healthy when it's all about you or when it's all about her, either way. I think about how do we even make up our mind about, yeah, this person, I think I'm gonna date this person. I think, yeah. This one meets my criterion. I think we'll do it. We'll see each other. We'll talk. I mean, it's kind of like, well, she likes me and I like him. She likes me and I like her. But think about that logic. Think about the stupidity. I mean, I saw a puppy a little while ago too, and I liked him and he liked me. I mean, where are we going with this? I mean, be careful. In reality, if you said what you're really thinking, she's smoking hot, baby. I can't wait to... I mean... If that's straight shooting, I know. But that's the reality. I mean, the answer is it love or is it lust? Is it love or is it lust? And so, before you get to all that, you know, just, this is the person and I'm in love because I feel, you know, the whatever it is in the stomach and, the warmth in the face and the cozies and the slow music and, you know, just walk on the beach and we just all those things that just come to mind. The puppy love. I mean, first listen, then love. Get to know that individual. Who are you? Who are you? And here's me. This is me. Because every date is a potential mate. And lastly, focus less on finding the right person and focus more on becoming the right person. And this one kind of just ties it all together. It just kind of ties it all together because I read Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 at the beginning. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Because in reality, guys, if you will get close enough to God, He will actually give you direction. He will actually give you the green light. He will actually give you confirmation and say, this is the person. I mean, there were some moments where, if I was honest with myself, it was like, this is almost too good to be true, God. I mean, when I met Sarah, it was like it was all just kind of flooding in. But yet, I hesitated to say, I love you. I hesitated, and I'm not, please don't put me up on a pedestal, but I thought, that's a big deal. That's a big deal when I say I love you. I mean, I want to get this, I want to communicate that accurately. I don't want to just throw that out there. I don't want to lead her on and make her think one thing when that's really not true. And so, focus more on finding the right person and focus more on becoming the right person. Because ultimately, we're all about, and there is a myth, it's a myth, the right person. Because once you find that right person, you find out that person is a mess. I mean, yeah, they look really good and they, you know, beautiful voice over the phone, but I mean, there's some things that you just don't know until you really, really, really get to know that person. And they find out that you're not who you said you are either. I mean, because you know what? You're both sinners. You're both sinners. And so when I say focus on being the right person, becoming the right person, what am I talking about? Well, how about guys being hardworking? How about guys and girls being hardworking and being honest and being men and women of integrity? And when I say that, I mean, that you're, what are you doing when the only person watching is God behind the closed doors? Are you willing to sacrifice? Because marriage is the result and the destination, and yet it's not even a destination. Marriage is not, I've arrived. It's a process. And so marriage is not a 50-50. It's not this. It's actually 100%, 100% dying to who I am every day, because it's an ugly thing. And you maybe haven't gotten to the point where you realize you're pretty ugly on the inside. Some of you have been there and you know, and there's no question. But guess what? There's someone who loves you despite your ugliness. There's someone who will bring those two uglies together and make it what I sometimes call a holy mess of matrimony or marriage. Because it is, it's a holy mess. Only God could bring two people together and sustain that sucker. I mean, it's, for the long haul, it's not going to work if you're trying to do it on your own steam and your own energy. So guys, what does this look like for you? It looks like not making a plea from Facebook. And I am not pointing at anyone, but I've seen it rampant these days. Who wants to date me? Who wants to go out to prom with me? Who wants to, just on and on and on. I mean, desperation is what that is. Don't beg. Boldly take an initiative, fellas. Take an initiative. Open the door for her. Pray for her. Show her church is important. Show her Jesus is the one you love. And He comes first, not her. Don't make her call you. Call her. Pray with her. Read the Word together. Have you ever considered opening the Bible and reading it and asking, what do you think? How does this impact me? Girls, be pure in heart. Be pure in your heart. Be in love with Jesus. Realize your security and your completeness is in Him. It's not in some dude. It's not in some guy. It's got it going on. And it's got his swag. And I still haven't figured out what that is. And this may step... I don't think it steps on toes in the room. If it's not on the menu, keep it in the cabinet. Let me say that one again. If it's not on the menu, keep it in the cabinet. Guys have a difficult enough time withholding their rampant hormones, their teenage hormones, without you assisting, okay? And that's where I'm getting. If it's not on the menu, if you don't want guys with their mouth hanging out, I'm talking old guys too, okay? Not just the young ones that you're trying to impress. But if you don't want their jaws dropping, cover it up, please. Please. And I don't say that legalistically. God knows my heart. I could come in here and I could start slamming down, don't do this, don't do this, don't go there, don't do this. Do this, do that. Do it 5 times fast. I could do that, but that is not the answer. And yet, focus on becoming the right person. Focus on your relationship with Jesus. But ultimately, realize you're a sinner, and so is your life mate, whomever that may be. And their sacrifice. Dating is a means to an end. And I'm going to land this plane here in just a moment so the band can start making their way up. Dating is a means to an end. And that end is marriage. Okay? And marriage is a means to an end. And that end is glory to God. That is a life devoted to God. That is a life that is sold out to making this Jesus, who is famous, making Him famous for all to see and taste and know that He is good. Because He is, guys. Do you realize that Jesus is better than you ever thought? Jesus is. Not Jesus was. Jesus is. He is. And you know, we live in a world where marriage in itself is almost disposable. And you guys know as well as I do, with a new baby, I could probably build a monument with disposable diapers. But marriage is not a disposable diaper. Marriage is not to just be thrown away when it starts getting a little crappy. It's not something to just be thrown out with the rest of the trash and start over and get a fresh one. And right now, look at your own relationships. Are you building a case for that, for your marriage? Because your tendencies now will tend to carry over. And like I said, just some practicalities here. And I just want to close with a summary. Number one, dating is not a game to play. It's not. Dating is for mating. Romantic relationships exist for marriage, not for dating, not for courting, not for going together. And so every date is a potential mate. Number two, listen before you love. Get to know that individual you're with. If you're currently dating, and I'm not talking about friendship. I'm talking about romantic involvement. I'm talking about, and be careful with spilling your guts and moving too fast and disclosing everything. And number three, focus on becoming the right person instead of finding the right person. If you would, just close your eyes and bow your heads and consider these words. Yes, mine, but so rooted in the Word of God. Because God said, it is good. And I made you to have relationships. And yet, ultimately, you even mess that up. But believe me, I knew it all along. It's not as if I was taken by surprise. Jesus was my plan A, not my plan B. And ultimately, you do need a helper. But your helper is Jesus. Not a man, not a woman, not a boy, not a girl. But God, the one and only. The one who said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. No man comes to me. No man comes to the Father except he come through me. No one gets to God unless he first comes to Jesus. And yet, I and the Father are one. So guys, as you think about this and you contemplate the words that have been said, ask God right now. The person I have my eyes on, whether we're currently dating, or I'm contemplating, is this what you want for me? Ask yourself that. Secondly, say, God, I realize that all my relationships are going to suffer if I don't have a relationship with you. And if I was honest, my relationship with you is not that great. And so all my other relationships are not that great. God, help me to realize that the relationship with you is not a complicated thing. You took the first step. Not me. You took the initiative. And I do believe that you know what's best for me. God has spoken to you, and with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, let the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, the God who dwells within you, sort things out. And in the quiet of this time, I do want to say, no relationship is in vain. If you're guilt-ridden, if you're ashamed, if you've made mistakes, God does not see you as damaged goods. It's important that I say that, because Jesus is saying that to you in this very moment. He loves you just as you are, but He loves you too much to leave you that way. So will you come to Him? Will you receive grace and forgiveness if you need it? Not a matter of if you need it. It's rather, will you? Will you? You won't have a great relationship without a great relationship with God and His Son Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as the band begins to play here in just a moment, have a talk with God. Listen for what He has for you. And I don't want to tell you right now, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, BBYM exists to give you that opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior. And if you have made that decision, you've never graduated from it. You continue to walk in that relationship, and you continue to look at your motives, confess when your heart's in the wrong place. And the Bible says, when you're pure in heart, you will see God, and God will give you direction. God will give you counsel. God will give you vision. Thank you again, God, for this time. I pray that the invitation has been made. If there's anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they'll make that decision. They'll realize you died on a tree for them because they couldn't do it on their own. That sins can be forgiven for now and forever if they'll just turn right now from their own ability and they'll trust in yours. Do what needs to be done in each life, including my own. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.